after Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, Krishna immediately began instructing Arjuna. He first began taking the spiritual master's prerogative and calling his disciple a fool. He chastised Arjuna, Pragyavaram Chobashase, although you are speaking as if you were a learned man, learned people do not say the kind of things that you're saying, because learned people do not identify with the body. And Arjuna's calculations were based on the principle, they're based on the bodily conception of life. But when we understand that deeply, we can understand that they are based on the lack of his desire to follow Krishna's instructions, because Krishna wanted him to fight and he was declining. So when we say that they are based on Arjuna's bodily concept of life, what we're really saying is that he's not identifying himself as the eternal servant of Krishna. And even if one thinks that he's a spirit soul, that he's not his body, but yet he doesn't understand that he's Krishna's eternal servant, his position is not complete. And it will be explained later that to know that we are not the body, that we are souls, is not a transcendental realization. Actually speaking, it is a material realization to understand we are not our body. Aham Brahmasmi. This is born of the mode of goodness. Sattvam Sanjayate Jnanam. From the mode of goodness comes the knowledge that we are not our body, that we are eternal, that we are souls, and that is considered the door to liberation. But in and of itself, it is not liberation. It brings us to the point where we can become liberated. This is actually described in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Then, knowing that we're not our body, but we're eternal souls, if we focus our mind on Krishna, then liberation will come. Well, this is actually described in the fifth chapter. So in any case, Krishna chastises Arjuna. And he says, again, that you're foolish. You don't understand, and yet you are speaking. And this is very bad. Then Krishna begins to describe transcendental knowledge. What is the first knowledge that he describes? What verse? Who remembers? Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. And then, right into Dehenos vinyata dehe, komaram jovanam jara, tata dehantara praptir, diras tatara muyate. And then, next, matras parshas. These two verses are some of the most quoted verses of Bhagavad Gita. And within these two simple verses, plus the third verse, the verse that follows them, basically the whole concept of karma yoga or bhakti yoga is described. Because once we understand that we are spirit souls, we are not our body, and that we are eternally the servant of Krishna, then by focusing our mind on Krishna, and simultaneously, matras vajas de kanteya tams de tikshasva bharata, by tolerating all the effects of maya, of the material world, coming down upon us and simply focusing our consciousness on Krishna. Then the next verse, which we just read very, very, took 1 second on yesterday, text 15. Yam hi navya tantye te purusha. So if one masters these two points, following the order of one's spiritual master, which is the order of Krishna. Following that order, if one fixes his consciousness on the fact that he is a servant of Krishna and then tolerates the onslaught of the material nature which must come, then the result is, O best amongst men, Arjun, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. So this brings one to the point of liberation, because one is no longer influenced by the material energy anymore. One is fixed in Krishna's service on the order of the spiritual master, and one is not at all being buffed around or moved around by the material energy. So therefore, practically speaking, one is liberated. One is not touched by the material energy. Prabhupada, when describing something about his own transcendental life, described, he said that he had been given the order to preach in the West by his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then once when he was reading one of the verses in the second chapter, 241, he was struck by the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The verse is Vyavya Satmika Buddhi, that when one's consciousness is Ekeha Kurunandana, that when one's consciousness is fixed on the order of Krishna by means of the of his coming down through his spiritual master, Vyavya Satmika Buddhi, one is resolute. One's consciousness is simply Ekeha, just one, fixed on the order of Krishna through the spiritual master, and Bahushaka Tvanantascha Budeo Vyavasainam. This is the only way to have fixed Krishna consciousness. And this is the basic principle, Ado Guru Parasraya, that one has to take shelter of the lotus feet of a spiritual master, and that shelter is fixed. And his consciousness has to be fixed on pleasing the spiritual master. And then one's consciousness becomes practically like a laser. It can cut through anything. And then matra spashasta kaunteya sitosna sukadukadaha. When one is fixed on the order of our spiritual master, that is the potency. That means actually being fixed in the internal energy of the Lord. And that potency, that fixedness, allows us to remain steady and strong and not touched or moved as the material energy is changing and pushing us back and forth right before our very eyes. This is actually the secret of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said that when he read this, the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on this, he remembered how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had instructed him and ordered him to preach Krishna consciousness in English in the Western world. And then his determination became resolute. Without this resolute determination fixed on the order of the spiritual master, one must get moved back and forth as the material energy moves back and forth. Because this, we'll be discussing this in a moment. The very nature of the material energy is always shifting. It's always changing. And each and every one of us have our own karma. So some days we feel very happy by the modes of material nature, and some days we feel so miserable, and some days everything we do is successful, and some days everything we do fails one after another. So if we're happy when we're successful and miserable when we fail, we should understand that we are missing the entire point of Krishna consciousness, because happiness and failure just have to do more or less with karma. And they are not in our control. But what is in our control and what real success is, this, Vyavya Satmika Buddhi Ekeha Kurunandana. whether we are successful, whether we fail, if we are following the orders of our spiritual master, then we are successful by definition. One time when Prabhupada first came to the United States, he was corresponding with a disciple of one of his godbrothers. And Prabhupada at that time, the full success of his, this was maybe in 1967, the full success of his preaching hadn't yet manifest. And they mentioned that this is ludicrous about the Westerners becoming Krishna conscious. And actually speaking, what Prabhupada did was so amazing, because in India, when we're preaching in India, we see that it's just below the surface, Krishna consciousness. That the Indian people have all the culture that leads naturally to Krishna consciousness. But that culture is completely foreign to the West. So for Prabhupada to take the seed of Krishna consciousness, of vegetarianism, of reincarnation, all these things, of the deity. When you are born in India, immediately you have faith in the deity. Immediately you have faith in sadhus. Immediately you know you're not your body. It's such a blessing. The whole culture is going in that direction. So it's easy to become Krishna conscious in that sense. But to Prabhupada to take this Krishna conscious seed, the Bhakti Lata Beej, implanted in the heart of so many Westerners who had no idea of these basic concepts, who were brought up with meat, fish and eggs, mingling with boys and girls at the earliest ages, watching television, thinking that the purpose of life is to just succeed, to come up, achieve something, having no idea that when we die, that the soul lives on. This was the greatest of miracles, actually. And therefore, when Satsrupa Maharaj, he called the second volume of his Prabhupada Lilamrita, Planting the Seed. And it really was just that. And it took Krishna Shakti Nahivina Tarpavartana. It took someone so empowered to do this. So empowered by the Shakti of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when one gets fixed on the order of the spiritual master, one actually becomes empowered in that way. This is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said in comment. And this is what struck Prabhupada. Listen to this. The best kind of intelligence I can have, this is Vyavya Satmika Buddhi, is intelligence used in the service of Krishna. That intelligence is defined as fixed when it is intent upon my spiritual master's instructions, such as chanting the names of Krishna, remembering his activities, and performing service to his lotus feet. His instructions are my sadhana and my life, both in the beginning stages of bhakti as well as in bhakti's perfectional stage. I desire only to follow his instructions. I accept nothing else as my life's work, even in dreams. Whether I am happy or distressed, whether the material world remains or it is destroyed, I do not care. There is no loss for me. I simply must carry out the orders of my spiritual master. Fixedness upon his orders is determined intelligence in devotional service. And only by being fixed in his order is such determined intelligence possible. Bahu shaka twanantascha buddhaya vyavyasayinam. The opposite is described in this verse. This vyavya satmika buddhi is described in the verse. And bahu shaka, what does shaka mean?
Branch.
Branch of a tree. Or even sometimes a branch of an institution. Will be called the shaka. So bahu shaka means many branch, yanantascha, unlimited, many branches occur when one's intelligence is not fixed. Because immediately the mind comes up with so many other desires. So this verse in 241 is the key to succeeding in Krishna consciousness and being fixed in devotional service, as explained in these earlier verses, Dehenosminyata dehe komanam jovanam jara tata dehantara prapya diras tataramuyate. When one understands again, when one understands that one is Krishna's eternal servant, he's a soul. We are souls. We are eternal. And Krishna gives us in this verse the such a simple, perfect analogy that every person who is the slightest bit thoughtful can immediately understand that he is not the body, because every one of us experienced that when we were children, little babies playing, and even if we don't remember that, we see them playing everywhere, and we see old men everywhere, and we see people our age everywhere. And through all these changes of body, we remain the same. We have experience of this. That there is something that does not change. My mind has changed 2 billion times. My intelligence has changed. Hopefully it has grown. My body has changed in every way. But I, every one of us experiences it. And this is the frustrating thing about growing old. Because you have the same desires. You want to run. You want to jump. You want to be attractive. All those desires are there. But the body no longer can do it. So it's so frustrating. And when one gets old, and one often finds this with old men and old ladies, they become cynical, they become bitter, because they've spent their lives and they don't have anything. They have all the same desires, but they can't do it anymore. So every person has this experience. So based on this experience and this knowledge, transcendental knowledge, that we are eternal, that we do not change as the body changes. We are eternal. And then understanding that who are we? We are Krishna's servant. Based on that knowledge even more, and that order of Krishna comes through the spiritual master, then we become fixed, and that is eternal life. In our beginning stages, Ado Guru Parasraya, we take shelter of the lotus feet of our spiritual master. And then, even when we're in Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, even if we're directly serving Krishna, still, it will be through the mercy of our spiritual master, and the service and the mood will be through him. So if we take shelter of this eternal principle, the whole world may collapse. There may be 20 atomic bombs falling on our head tomorrow. We may be bitten by 10,000 scorpions. It doesn't make any difference. This principle will remain the same. And if we focus, we learn this art of focusing the consciousness like this, the whole world may fall apart and will be fixed in eternal life. This is the essence of Krishna consciousness. Because the surrender to the spiritual master is the hardest thing for the conditioned soul to do, because he is thinking that he is God. So to surrender to a man, very, very difficult. We don't mind surrendering to a god who's so far away. But to surrender to a man, someone who's right there, who is seeing eating, seeing walking, this is very difficult for a conditioned soul. Why? One reason, envy. This is Krishna's order, and we don't want to follow it. So based on the fixedness of that order, then the next step comes very easily. Matra spashasta kanteya sitosna sukadukadaha agamapayino. They come and they go. They are anityas. Happiness, distress, sense pleasures, in and out, everything changing. They are anityas. And one learns to tolerate them by the fixedness in Krishna consciousness. And then, as the next verse says, one becomes liberated. just by, this is right, this is the first thing in the Bhagavad Gita, and practically the whole Bhagavad Gita is right there. This is the glory of transcendental literature, that everything can be explained from any verse, and every verse. The whole Bhagavad Gita can open up through any verse, practically speaking. The conclusion is right there. Same thing with the Bhagavatam. The whole Bhagavatam can be opened up. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke for 3 months on Janmadyasya Yattaha, on the first verse of the Bhagavatam. He spoke for 3 months explaining the entire Bhagavatam. Jiva Goswami also explains the entire Bhagavatam through these verses, explaining the most intimate of the dealings between Radha and Krishna in the first verse. Everything can be explained like that. This is the glory of something transcendental like this. So to explain further, and today will be the last day that we speak about this point that we're not our body. There's actually one other time we'll talk about it. Practically, this is the last time Krishna talks about it. But in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in a section that we will talk about, Krishna is going to speak about the exact process by which one changes his body. Why are we in this particular situation? Why am I born in the United States? Why am I born in a male body? Why am I born in Brooklyn, New York? Why has all this happened? Why? This is actually described in the 15th chapter. What is it that attracts a particular situation to cover our consciousness? This will be described. But, and then there's something also in the 8th chapter. But aside from that, this ABC point, which is actually the basis of Krishna consciousness, and it's the basis of the philosophy that's going to be explained. It is so basic that it will not be talked about very much. But now, we'll speak a little bit more about the difference between the soul and the body, and in this way, eternity, the eternal element, the chit shakti, the internal energy of the Lord, and the maya shakti, or the external energy of the Lord, of which the body is composed. So Krishna will begin explaining that. Now, in text 15, if we understand text 13 and 14, Dehenos vinyata dehi, matra sparsha sakyata, then liberation comes very naturally. Then in 16, nasato vidite bhavo, na bhavo vidite sata, ubayo api drishto antas, tvanayas tatvadoshabi. Now this is nyaya. This is very jnana, jnani type of material. This is logic. This is based on actually a different type of elevational process, using the intelligence to understand the very nature of the material world and the spiritual world. This verse 16 has actually three parts. The first line, Nasato vidite bhavo, describes that which has no eternal existence actually has no existence. Those things which are not eternal don't exist. They actually aren't there. Things that are not eternal actually don't exist. Like youth, like money, that sometimes we dream, at least I seem to be mentioning this one a lot in Bhagavatam classes, but I haven't done this in a long time, but very often when I'd be waking up, I'd have this dream that I'd see a gold coin or some coin on the ground. Am I the only one who has this dream? And then you have it also, okay, out on Sankirtan. So I'd see it, I'd just be waking up, so I'd go and pick it up. And then just as I'd be waking up a little further, I'd see another coin, so I'd want to pick that up. And then suddenly I'd be seeing coins everywhere, and I'd start picking them all up and putting them away. And I'm waking up, and I'm seeing all this money just lying over there, and I don't want to wake up because I'm leaving all this money behind. So, does anyone else have this dream?
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, temple president, of course. You never had it, no. So there's actually, it's there in the dream. It's there in the dream, but because it's only temporarily there, it's clear it actually doesn't exist at all. Like money in a dream. Like our youth. We're so attached to it. And when there's things that we're attached to that don't exist, and we're attached to them, by definition, they will cause misery. Like our love for material objects in the material world. They will cause us pain. I love my mother. And she died. And that actually caused me so much pain. Because that person, I had to realize, and it's so hard to get this concept in the mind, that person no longer exists as my mother. Of course, philosophically, I can understand differently. But that person who brought me up, she no longer exists anymore. That body has been, it's finished, decomposed. So the source of my pleasure has become the source of my pain. Because I became attached to something that doesn't exist. Now this verse is taken different by Mayavadis, who say that there is actually no existence in it, like there is like it's completely illusion. But we do not say that. The Vaishnava philosophy explains that mothers do exist and money does exist, but this existence in the material world is temporary and changing. And they give the example, or they say that if you think a rope, you see a rope and you think it's a snake, it's very frightening, but it's illusion. So they say when you remove the illusion, your fear goes away. But we say, yes, my illusion is mistaking the rope for a snake, but ropes exist and snakes exist. So similarly, money exists, mothers exist, family exists, affection exists, youth exists, happiness exists, everything exists, but we are looking in the wrong place for it. Nasa to vidyate bhavo, that which has no eternal existence does not exist, it will not exist, and it has not existed. This is the definition of sat. Nasa to vidyate bhavo. This is the definition of existence, things that are eternal. This is a little technical and gyani stuff, but very practical. Yeah.
So what are those things that don't exist?
Huh?
What are the things that don't exist?
They exist temporarily. Just like you're looking at me now, and you see me, right? And you look at me now and you see me. But actually what you're seeing isn't the same thing over 2 seconds. It's actually changed. So that thing you saw 2 seconds ago is not that thing that you're seeing now. So does it exist? Is it there? Is it there? That me that you saw 5 seconds ago, it's no longer existing. So what it is that we say the body is growing, but it actually it's changing, continuously changing. The blood corpuscles are changing, etc. So this is Maya Shakti. Maya Shakti has different elements, but it is due to ignorance, the ignorant avidya part of Maya, that makes us think that something that is temporary and therefore non-existent in the sense of eternal, oh, actually there, Maya makes us think that it is actually there. And that's actually our problem. We're seeking an eternal situation, right? We're longing for that, something that doesn't change, security. We want principles that are stable. We want to exist eternally. This is natural. It is our very nature to be like that. But in the material world, we must be frustrated for that reason, because we're in the... it's always changing and we're eternal. So it's very frustrating.
But then, if we spirit particle, and for so many lifetimes we've been searching after an eternal situation, why is there so much of a struggle to identify with spiritual life, which is an eternal service?
Because we're sinful. That's why. Because we have desires that are averse, completely averse to spiritual life. We want our cake and eat it too. We want spiritual life so we can enjoy it, but we don't want to give up material life. We want to live in eternity, but we want to enjoy the temporary. So therefore, very difficult, very difficult. But that's why if we fix our consciousness on the eternal principle, see, what is taking shelter of the spiritual master's order? It means taking shelter of the Krishna's internal energy. That is, it is asraya. Mahatmanas tumam parta, daivim prakritim asraya. Because the spiritual master, as the Mahatma, he's taken shelter of the internal energy. These books, we call them transcendental literatures when we distribute them. It's such a quaint term. But they're actually, they are transcendental. What does that mean? That these words don't come from the material world at all. They emanate like rivers of nectar from the mouth of Lord Krishna. They're descending. Golokera Premadana Hari Nama Sankirtan. That's what we chant Hare Krishna. And this sound vibration is descending from the spiritual world. These books are descending from the spiritual world. And similarly, because the spiritual master has taken shelter of the internal energy, he is also connected in that same way. So the position of spiritual master has nothing to do with the material world in the same way. So taking shelter of that, it's like, the whole world is changing, but we become fixed in the eternal principle, the internal energy. But you have to give up the material energy, and you can't do that unless the shelter is complete. So we have one foot in and one foot out, and sometimes our energy is a little more in, and sometimes our mood is a little more out. And we suffer like anything because of that. That's called a mental platform. And we suffer like anything. We're neither here, we're neither there. This is the problem. And why do we keep one foot in the material world? Is because we want to enjoy the objects of material senses. So there's something we can do about that. It's not that we're doomed, or it's not that we can just, you know, we have to like just, sometimes we do have to pull. But Krishna explains clearly how to overcome this, and we'll talk about it later, but basically panam dvisvinaravartate. Just like if you're very attached to your $10, and you try to get $10 from someone who only has $10, but if you're offering them something more sweet and more wonderful in exchange, and they have a glimpse of that sweetness, that's why Vrindavan is so important for everyone, because anyone who comes to Vrindavan, Prabhupada even says in the Krishna book that even when a non-devotee comes to Vrindavan, he feels separation from Krishna. So we get a glimpse when we come to Vrindavan, we look at Krishna, Balaram, Radhashyama, Sunda, Gonatai, we just walk anywhere, we see Govardhan Hill, just walk alone around Govardhan Hill. And it's so clearly, it's not of this universe, of this material world, that we get a glimpse that there is a different reality. So when people come from Delhi, they say, oh, it is so peaceful in Vrindavan. But it's not just peaceful. You can go anywhere and it'd be peaceful. But there's a sweetness in Vrindavan that everyone can feel and taste. And we find that, and devotees who haven't been here for years, or even if you go away for 3 months and you come back, as soon as you get back, you just go, ah, because that sweetness is just right there. I remember when it used to happen to me when I was not living in Vrindavan. I'd come to either Mayapur and Vrindavan, and you're here, and you're sort of here with all the devotees. And then we'd be getting on the bus to leave or something. And I remember thinking, oh no, what am I doing? Because this is the spiritual energy here. We don't perceive it so directly. We see the pigs, we see this, we see the dirt, we see the crooked pandas, we see this and that, we see so many faults. But actually this is, Vrindavan is Vrindavan. So it's so important, because this, or Harinam Sankirtan, especially when you have wonderful kirtans in Vrindavan, or especially good association, Vrindavan Dham, Bhagavat Shravan, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, association with devotees, Harinam Sankirtan, worshipping the deity. These five are so potent. But especially in Vrindavan, there you can get the experience. And that experience gives us strength, and that's why Prabhupada wanted all the devotees to come to Vrindavan. So we get strength to remember that impression, that sanskara becomes so fixed in our consciousness that we go away, we're somewhere preaching, and our tendency is the feet in both boats, but this keeps us, pushing us in the right direction. Keeps us out of material life, because we don't want, because material life, everyone has experienced that it means suffering. It simply means suffering. It simply means suffering. So due to passion and ignorance, that's the cause. We're determined thieves. We won't give up our attempt. So Krishna says, those who are seers of the truth have concluded of the non-existent, there is no endurance. There is actually, those things that do not endure do not exist. That means everything in the material world. And then on the other hand, na bhavo vidyate sata. Those things that do exist, that are eternal, they will always exist. Krishna is speaking in relationship, especially to the body and the soul. Because Arjuna, one of his main reasons for not wanting to fight was he did not want to kill. So Krishna is first going to give this nyaya, this logic over here. And then in the next two verses, he's going to explain it further. 17. The first part of 16 is Nasa To Vidite Bhavo. That which has no eternal existence never exists. Either something exists or something doesn't exist. Those things that exist are eternal. Those things that don't exist are temporary, always changing. So the first part is Nasa To Vidite Bhavo. Those things that aren't eternal don't exist. And that's described furthermore in text 17, and the next part, those things that are eternal always stay the same, that's in text 18. So text 17, that which pervades the entire body, you should know to be indestructible. Prabhupada explains that if we understand this point, that we are eternal, all our fear vanishes. Because no one can hurt us. We're eternal. We will live forever. And just imagine if we just assimilated these two points, that which pervades the entire body you should know to be indestructible. No one is able to destroy that imperishable soul. And then 18, the material body of the indestructible, immeasurable, and eternal living entity is sure to come to an end. So on one hand, you're saying, my dear Arjuna, you're saying you don't want to fight because you don't want to kill these people. But you should understand, on one hand, they are souls, and you cannot kill them. They are eternal. Those things that are eternal will never, cannot, they are eternal. And on the other hand, the bodies, they don't even, they're temporary, and you can't save them. So on both sides, my dear Arjuna, you are wrong. You cannot kill them, and you cannot, because they are souls, and you cannot save them from dying if you are thinking that they are the bodies. You cannot stop. You say you don't want to fight because you don't want their body to die. It's too bad. You can't stop their body from dying. Even if you don't fight, their body's going to die. And how are you going to stop it? You can't stop it because the body must die. And you cannot kill the soul. So if we actually simply assimilated these two points, if the world actually assimilated these two points, everything would change. Simple. The ABC of spiritual life would change the entire world. And Krishna is explaining it so clearly and so simply that we can realize it and take it and taste it and eat it and get strength from it. The body must die. Everything. Everything will change. But this won't have anything to do with us, if we are fixed in this eternal consciousness. And that's what Krishna wants us to do. To connect and come under the Mahatmanastu Mamparta Daivim Prakritim Asrita. Asraya Asrita, yeah? Asrita? That takes shelter of this internal energy. And it is real shelter. There is no other shelter. There is no shelter in the material world. This is shelter. This is security. This will not leave you. Our spiritual master, the whole disciplic succession, Radha and Krishna, Krishna, Balaram, Vrindavan, Dham, they will not leave us if we take shelter of them. We have their strength behind us. We do not have to fear anything if we take. That's why Prabhupada was so fearless. How he could go to the United States with nothing, and why his disciples are so fearless. And the disciples of his disciples are so fearless because they take shelter of the internal energy with faith and experience. And the more we take shelter, the more experience we have. And the more we have experience, the stronger our faith is. And the stronger our faith is, the more we take shelter. But instead, we want to play. So therefore, it's a gradual process. Chaito darpana marjanam. The heart has to be clean. What is the cleaning of the heart by chanting Hare Krishna? What happens? Anartana vrittisyat. All these material attachments, they will gradually go. Shreya karaiva chandrika vataranam. That means that the white lotus of our good fortune will blossom in the moonlight of Krishna. Krishna chandra, Vrindavan chandra. That's what happens. Our Krishna consciousness grows and blossoms as we chant Hare Krishna and follow the process of Krishna consciousness. And if it's not growing and blossoming, what does that mean? It means we're moving, we're backing off the boat properly. Well, different anarthas are growing for one reason or another. Okay, that's all I wanted to explain today. Tomorrow, we'll talk about more on the process. But remember again, what I felt inspired to do in this class is talk about points that inspire me that are very, very preachable. So I will feel successful if you feel inspired by these points and you gain the ability and the knowledge to deeply study them, become convinced by them, and preach by them on these points. They are logical. They are shastric. They are experienceable. We all have these experiences. Okay, are there any questions?
comments? Son of who?
But it seemed that Prabhupada, he had a harder time establishing Krishna consciousness in India than in the West. Because he had to go to the West to establish it afterwards in India.
Which is very unfortunate.
But how is it if the culture is so favorable that he could not do that?
Because the people's desires, they need some shaking up.
They want to
imitate the West. So when you're looking, just like this, that saying, the grass is always greener on somebody else's lawn. You know that expression? So when you're in India, and it's a thinking it's a poor country, and you're looking at the West, thinking it's so wonderful, the Westerners are thinking how miserable they are, but you're dreaming from India, only if I had this, I'll be happy. So because they're dreaming, or were or dreaming, therefore it's so difficult. Yeah.
That's the reason Gopal went to America instead of London, because you know, the President Sarasvati Maharaj had sent his disciples to London, and they did not succeed. And then by the time Prabhupada was ready to go, he figured out that the world's attention is focused on America. London was not the center of the world's attention.
The Prabhupada said that where he wanted to go, he sometimes dreamed of going to New York. Even his mind was so fixed on it, so inspired.
He had said that the Indians are close to Krishna, but they are walking away. And the Westerners are so far away from Krishna, but they are willing to look towards.
But as soon as the Indians wake up and start walking in the right direction, they have so much capacity to assimilate this deeply and preach, because it's so deeply a part of them. Not that Westerners can't, but Indians are built for it. This is a pious birth, spiritually. You have to do something now. You have to preach. Okay, go to Arti. Tomorrow we'll start on do something on the third chapter. Very, very interesting. How third chapter is very interesting. That's all I'll say. From karma to jnana. How to work. And it's also so practical. The third chapter is really practical. It gives advice, gives the exact instructions, what instructions you should give to someone about how they should engage in Krishna consciousness. Should they give up everything? Should they keep doing their work and offer the fruit to Krishna? This will be described in the third chapter, what the progression is. Jai Shri Prabhupada, Sri Arjuna.